Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-McLean.
Sing me.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-McLean.
Hello, fellow patriots. Greetings. Welcome, steamy hot July alohas on this Tuesday evening. Great to have you along as we enter the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack program. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation this evening. Just grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. So we're talking with Pat from New York, who's checking in with what is happening with her family there in upstate New York. Meantime, Mayor Bill the Commie de Blasio, his giant Black Lives Matter mural outside of Trump Tower. How childish is that? How infantile? In the first place, it's nothing but a ripoff of what that mayor in Washington, D.C. did, putting out a BLM street name near the White House. Well, apparently not all residents of Gotham are appreciative of what the mayor was a part of. He was out there helping him paint the BLM mural, along with the also distinguished individual Reverend Al, the well-known race monger. An unidentified man walked up to the giant mural outside Trump Tower, the Manhattan skyscraper, and poured red paint on the bright yellow letters shortly after noon yesterday, then ran off before cops showed up to survey the damage. Now, here's an interesting part. The mayor is taking part, essentially, in the vandalism of his own city. And then a guy shows up who is obviously on the other side of this issue. And if they'd caught him, they would have charged him with vandalism, right? I knew it was going to happen. There's all this racist S-word going on. Construction worker Billy McCabe told the New York Post, the mural should not have been done right in front of Trump Tower. Well, that's how infantile de Blasio and these leftists are. Nah, 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 nah. We're going to put a BLM mural right in front of Trump Tower. De Blasio commissioned the mural last month, and on Thursday, he was jeered by protesters as he helped paint the mural with First Lady Shirlane McRae and the Reverend Al Sharpton, he of the Justice Brothers, of course. Police said the assailant, how about the Patriot? Police said the Patriot who vandalized the massive message Monday, that's a lot of alliteration, walked up Fifth Avenue at 12:13 in the afternoon wearing a black shirt and a black hat, dumped the paint, then ran down 56th Street. The blotch of paint dumped between black and lives was smeared over much of the mural by passing traffic. Don't you, New Yorkers, you know, how come your tires are all red when you get home? I wish I'd tackled him, but I'm old and fat, so I didn't, said Paul Rawson, who wore a Dump Trump face mask and a BLM t-shirt and was selling anti-Trump merchandise nearby when the vandal showed up. I don't like anybody blocking free speech, and even though I hate Trump, I would never think of vandalizing something pro-Trump. Nearby, a man with a MAGA hat walked back and forth holding a sign that read, "The only time Black Lives Matter is when they're shot by a white policeman or an Oreo cookie. Defend all policemen." Jeez. He shouldn't have done it, but that shouldn't have been there in the first place, said the man who gave his name as Michael, said of the vandal and the defaced mural. Vandal. Yeah, right. Ay, ay, ay. Meantime, down the street from Trump Tower, New York Times opinion columnist and editor Bari Weiss, a woman, announced today she is leaving the newspaper, saying she was bullied by colleagues in an illiberal environment weeks after declaring there was a civil war inside the paper. Ms. Weiss published a scathing resignation letter that she sent to the Times publisher, A.G. Schulzberger, on her personal website, noting she doesn't understand how toxic behavior is allowed inside the newsroom and, quote, showing up for work as a centrist at an American newspaper should not require bravery. It is with sadness that I write to tell you that I am resigning from the New York Times, she wrote. She then explained that she joined the paper in 2017 to help offer a different perspective at the Times failure to anticipate the outcome of the 2016 election meant that it didn't have a firm grasp of the country it covers, and fixing that issue was critical. But the lessons that ought to have followed the election, lessons about the importance of understanding other Americans, the necessity of resisting tribalism, and the centrality of the free exchange of ideas to a democratic society have not been learned. Instead, a new consensus has emerged in the press, but perhaps especially at this paper, that truth isn't a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few whose job is to inform everyone else. You know, she could have known this beforehand. If, for instance, she had listened to the advice of the brilliant Dr. Thomas Sowell, who said, and unlike Joe Biden, I give him credit for the quote, "It is usually futile to try and talk facts and analysis to people who are enjoying a sense of moral superiority in their ignorance." Weiss also wrote, "Twitter is not on the masthead of the New York Times, but social media acts as the ultimate editor, as the ethics and mores of that platform have become those of the paper. The paper itself has increasingly become a kind of performance space. Stories are chosen and told in a way to satisfy the narrowest of audiences rather than to allow a curious public to read about the world and then draw their own conclusions. I was always taught that journalists were charged with writing the first rough draft of history. Now, history itself is one more ephemeral thing molded to fit the needs of a predetermined narrative." You might remember this lady. She was the one that got into a big tussle among her colleagues after writing after allowing the publishing of an op-ed written by Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, that sparked a major backlash from the Times staff. Hours before, the Times offered a mea culpa for running Cotton's piece, which called for the troops to be sent in to quell the riots in Minneapolis claimed that a civil war was brewing within the paper. In her resignation letter, Ms. Weiss noted that her own forays into wrongthink have made her the subject of constant bullying by colleagues who disagree with her views. They have called me a Nazi and a racist. I've learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again. Several colleagues perceived to be friendly with me were badgered by co-workers. My work and my character are openly demeaned on company-wide Slack channels where masthead editors regularly weigh in. Yeah. So the liberals, you know, were touchy-feely, view her as a Nazi and a racist. They are, of course, the liberals, the especially the ones that work at the New York Times, among the vilest of humans. 16 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we cruise on through the fourth and final hour of the program, the bonus hour, here on WORD.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, right. 622 here on the Bobby Mack Show. A texter says Reverend Al has credibility. Really? Is that what they believe up there in Long Island? Area code 631. Bobby, the voters of New York City giving de Blasio a chance is like giving China a chance. You know the background, you know the politics, you know he's anti-cop and doesn't care about crime. They knew it before they voted for him, so to heck with him. They get what they asked for. Bobby, Dr. Fauci has a stake in that Resvedere or whatever it's called, and the regime cost $1,000. No wonder he's talking down hydroxychloroquine. If he loses money, he sees that as an alternative. Bobby, this is graffiti, not a mural. That's a public highway. It's not on private property. Bobby, de Blasio also puts the residents of Trump Tower at risk. Yeah, true enough. Bobby, so attacking NYPD officers is okay, but painting over a communist brand logo is bad. Yeah. Bobby, isn't vandalizing a BLM mural a legitimate form of free speech protest? Bobby, concerning the esteemed Reverend Al Sharpton, does anyone remember his involvement in the Tawana Brawley scandal back in 1987? Yeah. Look it up. Bobby Spartanburg defaced the public street in front of the police station with that BLM lie. The police should arrest those who painted that slop on the street, paid for by the taxpayers. 24 after 6, the president has been speaking for some time in the Rose Garden of the White House, and he's been running down a litany of issues. Let's listen in for a bit. Here's President Trump.
Because the process is not fair. The media doesn't treat us fairly. They never have, and perhaps they never will. But maybe they will when we turn this around for a second time, and it's going to happen very quickly. When we turn it around for a second time, maybe they will. I think we're doing very well in the polls, and I think you have a silent majority, the likes of which this country has never seen before. This is a very important election. We've done a great job. We had to turn it off, as I said. Turn it off, and now we've started it again. As you know, they announced 2 weeks ago record job numbers, almost 5 million people. And that beat the last month, which was also a record, 2.8 million people. Nobody's ever done what we've done, and now we're doing it twice. And I think by Election Day, you're going to see some incredible numbers. The third quarter is going to be really good. Fourth quarter is going to be great, but next year is going to be one of the best economic years. So hopefully I'll be able to be the president where we say, look at the great job I did.
This point.
I think great. I think we have a great chance. I think we're going to have a lot of people show up. I'm very worried about mail-in voting because I think it's subject to tremendous fraud and being rigged. You see that Paterson, New Jersey, where I believe it was 20% of the vote was fraudulent. It was all sorts of things happened. I understand a mailman was recently indicted someplace for playing games with the mail-in ballots. You'll have tremendous fraud if you do these mail-in ballots. Now, absentee ballots are okay, because absentee ballots, you have to get applications, you have to go through a process. If I'm here and I vote in Florida, you get an absentee ballot, but you have to go through a process. Absentee ballots are great. But mail-in voting, where a governor mails millions of ballots to people all over the state, California, millions and millions of ballots as an example. And then they come back, they don't come back. Who got them? Did you forget to send them to a Republican area or a Democrat area, I guess you could say? But if you take a look at all of the unbelievable fraud that's been involved with mail-in voting over the last even short period of while, but look at Paterson, New Jersey. It was a massive error and a massive miscalculation, and there was incredible fraud. Look at the city council, what's happened to it. This is one place, but you have many places, and they're all over. Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. I want to know, when's the last time you spoke with President Xi of China, and do you plan to speak with him in the near future?
No, I haven't spoken to him. Well, no, I don't. I have no plan to speak to him. Yeah,
and,
please go.
Sir, follow up.
Do you want to do a follow-up?
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was hospitalized today with an infection. Wanted to know if you had any reaction to that news.
No, I wish her the best. I hope she's better. I didn't hear that, actually. She was just hospitalized? No, that's too bad. No, I wish her the best.
Okay.
She's actually giving me some good rulings. Okay? So you know that, right? People were surprised. No, I wish her the absolute best. Please.
Thank you, Mr. President. So you were mentioned the travel bans, and I wonder when do you plan to review that, because the European countries are in a situation is under control, much a better place than the U.S., and there is no ban for other hotspots like Russia and India. So what will be the criteria to change that? And another question.
Well, you know, we've banned for Europe, and at some point that'll come off, and we're dealing with them all the time. The relationship's very good. They just don't treat us very well on trade. They have been very unfair to us over many, many decades. And we're doing that. It's very easy to solve. I was all set to solve it, actually, and then we got hit with the plague. But we have a travel ban on various countries, and that travel ban remains until such time as we say it doesn't remain.
And
we want our country safe. We don't, unlike Biden, we don't want to have criminals pouring into our country. We don't want to have open borders. We're not going to have that. And we want to take care of our police. We want to actually fund our police, not defund them. And we're not going to abolish our police, and we're not going to make our military small and weak, because probably, or at least at top of the level, we need our military right now. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Mr. Brett, so how do you think that the America First policy can work during a pandemic? Aren't you concerned that this could actually damage the U.S. and make China more influence around the world?
Okay, look, my policy is America First. We've lost hundreds of billions of dollars a year with China and many other countries. And what we're doing is just handing everybody everything. It's just sad. I've watched it. I've looked at it. We did the U.S.-Mexico. You saw that. USMCA. We made a very fair deal on trade. We had the worst deal ever. Right? You know that. We had the worst deal ever. And it replaced that. It replaced that horrible NAFTA deal that was one of the worst trade deals ever made. I'll tell you, the only deal that might be worse is the WTO, World Trade Organization. Maybe worse. OAN, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
President Trump speaking in the Rose Garden of the White House this evening. He has been doing a news conference, opened with a statement where he compared his candidacy and what he stands for with that of his presumed Democrat opponent, Joe Biden. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Little Annie is ready to go with the news, and I'm right back on the other side with the last half of the bonus hour here on Tuesday on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. 6:36, 24 before 7 here in the closing minutes of the Bobby Mack Show. I got an email today from a fellow who had emailed me before. He was actually looking for an email address for the great one, Mark Levin. And I don't believe he actually has one that is public. He's available on, you know, some social media stuff. But in any event, he sent me an email asking if I'd had any luck in finding an email address for Mark. And he said, just so you know, what I was wanting to pass on to him or to Mr. Producer. I'm sure you're aware that several weeks ago, in the heat of all the civil unrest, Mark decided to open his show with a national anthem. What I don't know is if you're aware that he started a remarkable and fantastic trend. In the weeks following Mark, I've been hearing several programs and a number of radio stations playing it at least a couple of times a day. It's so moving. I, like you, had a career in TV. I remember signing on and off every day before the 24/7 broadcast cycle. And I thought I would suggest that he rotate through as many different renditions as possible because there are so many great ones out there. This might also be something you want to discuss with your people at the station, and several of the WORD family programs would consider following suit at least once a day during their respective shows. You all could consider not only a rotation of renditions, but also the hour and time during the show. That way it's a true random rotation that would allow as many listeners to hear this as possible. Just a thought, but I believe one that reinforces the patriotic stance that you all take routinely. And should you find a way to contact Mark or his staff, then please let me know. Sorry for the lengthy reply. Sincerely, and have a great day, from David in Anderson. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. That's a great thought. And I thought not only with the national anthem, but with other great songs and great renditions that celebrate the liberties and freedoms that God has given us here in the United States of America. And one of the first ones that came to mind was the rendition of America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. And I thought that that would be probably a pretty good one to start with. And so without further ado, here is the Genius of Soul and his tribute to America the Beautiful. Yeah. Boy, if that won't choke you up, I don't know what will. And what a stroke of genius from Ray Charles to begin his rendition of America the Beautiful with the third verse. Terrific. And I love the suggestion from David. Thanks, David. It's a great idea. And already I'm getting emails with suggestions for other great patriotic pieces of music. I always have been a big fan of the March songs from John Philip Sousa. We'll do some of those. Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag, John Wayne, America While Ever. Thanks for the suggestions. And if you have some, you can either text them to me, 71307, or email me, bob@1063WORD.com, and we'll do different ones every day. And given all the stress and strain that everybody is under, I think it gives us a bit of relief. In on the text line, 71307, Bobby, I second the opinion of the suggestion, considering the playing of National Anthem by the great one, Mark Levin. I never miss your show. Thank you. Appreciate that. From the golf file, Bobby, do you think Bryson DeChambeau is taking steroids? I've only seen this kind of tremendous weight gain and temperament changes when there are steroids involved. Protein shakes? Give me a break. Does make you wonder, he has substantially bulked up. Also on the text line, Bobby, thank you so much for that song. Way to go, Bob. Good choice. Bobby, you can start something, too. How about playing Dixie? We'll do it. Yeah. Bobby, I hear people say, I know this virus is real, but so is cold, and it seems like what's being done is far worse than the virus. Bob, he dumped some paint out. The guy that dumped red paint on the BLM painting in the street in front of Trump Tower. He dumped some paint out. Oh, well, people do what they do. Quoting, of course, the infamous Nancy Pelosi, the wicked witch of the West. 6:45 here on the Bobby Mac Show. You may remember, as we go to the break, last week there was a story about a fella of Mexican heritage who was running for a council seat out in Oregon. He lost, and so he put together this hate-filled screed letter that he shared on Facebook and other social media, claiming it was an example of America's racism. Turned out he had written the letter himself. We got another one. another hoaxer out there. Tell you where this one is when we come right back here on WORD.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, it's the Boz. No, not the linebacker, Bosworth. Boz Skaggs instead. Welcome back, 6:51, closing minutes of the Bobby Mack Show here on the Tuesday edition. I mentioned last week we had a story of a guy in Oregon of Mexican heritage. He ran for a county or city council, one or the other. He lost, and so he was angered at the voters' failure to support him. So he wrote a nasty, vile screed about, you know, how he should never run for office because he's Mexican, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out he wrote the letter himself. And here we go again. Police officers at Texas A&M University announced this week that an alleged racial hate crime was actually a hoax perpetuated by the crime's supposed victim. How many of these we've seen? Isaiah Martin, a senior at A&M, told police in June that he found racist notes on the hood of his car. According to a local news report, the Texas A&M Police Department announced on Thursday that a recent alleged hate crime was actually perpetrated by the student who reported the incident to police. Martin had told police he found three racist notes on the hood of his car in June. He tweeted about finding these notes on his windshield. I hate it here. Y'all still don't think A&M is racist? Campus police claim that he was caught on a campus surveillance camera placing the notes onto the hood of his car. After placing the notes, Martin reportedly stepped back from the car and took pictures of the notes. He immediately walked to the passenger side of the vehicle, did not open any doors. He's seen toward the front of the vehicle. A brief white speck is seen from about mid-torso moving toward the vehicle, and then it goes on to describe it. The time spent at his vehicle is 1 minute, 15 seconds. Martin denies the accusation that he placed the racist notes on the hood of his car. He claimed that he stopped cooperating with the campus police investigation after they became suspicious that he had placed the notes himself. Quote, I'm in a predicament where the topic of the case was, let's find out who did this to them, pointing the finger at me. In the end, I stopped talking to them because it seemed they were more interested in me getting the blame for this hate crime instead of finding the actual person who did it. Kind of ignoring the fact that they had him on video placing these notes on there. You know, maybe some of this would be reduced if these fake hate crimes were automatically prosecuted as hate crimes, and whomever perpetrates it is charged accordingly. Got to wrap things up for this evening. Thanks so much for being along. And we'll do it again tomorrow, right after El Rushbo, beginning at 3. Hope you have a great Tuesday evening. God bless.
Who was that masked man anyways?
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beat you?
Yep, I wonder who he was.
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beat you?
Yep.
I wonder how all this would sound on instant replay.
I don't know, why don't you try it?
Okay.
Who was that masked man anyways?
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beat you?
Yep, I wonder who he was.
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beat you?
Yep.
I wonder how all this would sound on instant replay.
I don't know, why don't you try it?
Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.